Hey, y'all. Hey, I can't really see you, but I know you're out there. I'm like, dang that light. Hey, no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Can y'all sing that with me? No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. One more time, come on. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Woo. Thank you, Lord, that there is no shadow you won't light up, no mountain you won't climb up coming after me, God. Whew. Myra, I love you, and I just thank you so much. Y'all, I brought some tissues up here. I'm praying I don't cry through this whole thing, but I just had to say that first. I asked her to sing that song, and that song helped me when I was leaving a toxic relationship and I had joined New City Church. I had never heard it before, and Myra sang it. She was the leader of the SFV, and I'm so grateful for her leadership and for all that she has done and everything that she introduced me to, including that song. I love you. All right, so that was totally off topic and off this portion, but I had to say it. Hey, New City. I'm so grateful to be before you all again. And I'm really looking forward to the words I'm going to share. I pray that someone who hears this message is encouraged to go if they need to. Feel their feelings, knowing that it's okay to have them. And trust God still has a plan to bless your life. And so I'd like to start by reading the scripture together. It's from Ruth 1. I'm reading the first chapter of Ruth. All right, good. I love you, media team. Thank you all. I was ready. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephratites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. Then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah. The other married a woman named Ruth. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. This left Naomi alone with her two sons, without her two sons or her husband. Then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughter-in-laws got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland. With her two daughter-in-laws, she set out from the place where she had been living. And they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back to your mother's home, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with security of another marriage." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. "No," they said, "we want to go with you to your people." But Naomi replied, "Why should you go with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up and be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' home, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible and I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than you for you, and because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me. And again, they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. You should do the same. But Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. So the two of them continued on their journey. When they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was excited by their arrival. Is it really Naomi? The women asked. But don't call me Naomi, she responded. Instead, call me Mara. For the Almighty has made my life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me? So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Ruth, the young Moabite woman. They arrived in Bethlehem in the late spring at the beginning of the barley harvest. Let us pray. To Heavenly Father, I come before you today, Lord. As I prepare this message in my heart, I pray, Lord, that it would reach those who are supposed to hear it, God. That if there is someone in here who is toggling or battling with the idea of having to leave, having to go, having to shift direction, Lord, that you would bless their hearts with this message, God. Lord, that I want you to come forth, and I'm asking you to fill my spirit with your words, Lord God, that this message would be delivered the way that you called it to be delivered, God, and that there would be people in this building, online, and for the future that this message is out there, Lord, that would go forward trusting you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So I chose this passage in the Bible for many reasons. One, because I love the story of how Ruth was faithful to go with her mother-in-law. Two, because later in the story, Ruth finds her new love, Boaz. And because it's a great way to open up the conversation of letting go and trusting God. However, I did not choose this passage to talk about Ruth and her faith walk. I actually want to talk about Naomi. I want to talk about her choice to leave a place that no longer served her, how she grieved in the process, and how she chose to still go, not knowing how things would turn out. Yes, Naomi is the star of today's message. I also chose this text because I'm about to go as well. I am also going back to my own homeland. I have big feelings about it, and I'm still not sure how it will all turn out. So let's get into the story, shall we? Now, I'm just giving y'all a heads up. I'm going to do this Sherry D style, okay? Y'all, I'm about to do it the way that Sherry D feels it. So it's not going to be exactly biblical, but I hope y'all get the point, all right? Okay, so boom. There's this woman named Naomi who has went with her husband and carried her two sons to a new land because of a famine. I can only imagine she made the best of this new place and created what she believed was a good life there. Now, before I go any further, I just want to ask the question. Have you ever left a place you've been for a long time in search of what would sustain you? Like maybe you were physically hungry or starving for something new. You needed a change and you knew the only way to make it happen was to go. Well, I know I have. That perfectly describes my move from my hometown to Los Angeles in 2016. I moved here with high hopes and little to no idea what life would bring. I just knew I couldn't stay in my homeland forever and that I at least needed to spread my wings and fly into something new once because I was starving from not knowing all that I could become somewhere else. That choice led me to my healing, self-discovery, a beautiful church family, a new career, and so much more. I wonder what all Naomi received in her time in the new, that new land. I also wonder, for those who can relate, what all you received since deciding to go somewhere new. Now back to the story. Naomi is in the new place, living, and then slowly things begin to die. First your husband, which I'm sure was painful. But Naomi still had hope because she had her two sons who grew up and married two women from this new place of Moab. Their names were Orpah and Ruth. Life continued on and the dream continued for Naomi. But unfortunately, 10 years later, both of her sons passed away as well. How devastating to go from feeling like it's all working in your favor to feeling like none of it is working at all. How painful to watch as everything you had hopes and dreams in fades away. How confusing to have to figure out what's next after all that you thought was going to be is no longer. Can you relate to having things die that you once had dreams in? Whew. Me too, friend, me too. Well, with all that was falling apart around her, Naomi decides it's time to go. She hears God is passing out blessings in her homeland in the form of a great harvest and decides to go back to where she came from. Now, I would like to point out that unlike some of the other characters we read about in the Bible, Naomi doesn't hear God telling her to go. No angel appears in the night with a message of how she needs to go. No prophet runs up to her house with a word from God. Instead, she feels it's time to leave, gathers her things and her daughter-in-law's, and she heads out. I thought this point of Naomi not hearing from God, angels, or prophets was important to bring up because some of us really are really waiting on a sign from God or a word that confirms we are making the right decision to leave a situation that's no longer for our life. Perhaps your relationship is clearly falling apart. The boss on your job has been mistreating you. The home you live in can no longer sustain you. The finances have run out and you don't know what to do, but you're still waiting for a sign to let you know that everything will work out if you go. If this is you, I just want you to know that that prompting on your heart to leave is a sign. And that sometimes it won't be clear why you have to go until long after you've left. Even if you don't hear from angels, God, or a good encouraging word from a friend, doesn't mean it's not time to leave. Sometimes the things that are in front of our face crumbling is our biggest cue that it's time. Okay. Yeah, it's a big word here for me today. Okay, let's continue moving forward like Naomi chose to do. So back then, there were no Ubers, no Lyfts, no planes, trains, or automobiles. So I imagine these women were on a long walk with possibly a donkey or another animal to ride on if they were lucky. Somewhere along this tedious journey to go back the way Naomi probably got there, she gets to thinking. She stops and she turns to her daughter-in-laws and says, "Hey, y'all, go on home and be with your families. I pray God blesses you and you find love again, but traveling with me is not going to help you. God has clearly cursed me, but you still have good lives to lead. You're free to go." Shocked, Orpah and Ruth protest, and they are all crying and trying to go with their mother-in-law. But Naomi is convinced she has nothing to offer these women. You see, she feels like that, like all that she has is gone. No children to be their future mates. No husband to have more children with. No future. No more blessings from God. No nothing. Well, eventually, Orpah agrees it would be better to depart. She says her final goodbye and heads back to her family. But Ruth is not having it. See, Ruth is a rioter. She was down for the entire deal, even while not knowing what the future held. And can we just talk about Ruth for a moment? Because I think this really correlates into our own lives. Like, you ever had people in your life that believed in your mission more than you? People with bigger faith who would stay with you no matter what it looked like? People who would trust God even when you couldn't? People who were there regardless of what you have or what you could offer them? People who would ride with you? Yeah. Whew. Well, I know I have. And many of them have been right here at New City Church. When I was at some of my lowest points, they were there for me. And even now, as I go through this season of sadness and letting go, they are still believing, praying, and encouraging me forward. I'm so grateful for that. I only wish we could have spent more time together, growing that bond even more. In California, it's a real hustle culture we got, where we make plans and schedule things for way out in the future. And I'm just encouraging somebody, schedule it now. I know we'll still be connected from a distance. I will also say it's so very hard to leave, mostly because of my love for my church family. That's the biggest part. That's the hardest part for me, is leaving New City. Now, I share this part to say, if you got a Ruth or a Rutherford, okay, I'm trying to be inclusive, in your life here in New City, hang on to them. Spend time with them. Grow and keep relationships with them, because they are the ones that will ride with you when you are high and when you are low. And when you have it all and when you have nothing. And you deserve that type of love. You deserve that type of family. You deserve to be engaged in a community that is loving and kind. Lean in and hold on. Lean in and let them hold on to you, because you deserve that. In life, there are many Orpahs who will come and go, but I pray you find your Ruth and Rutherford friends to keep going with right here. Amen. Now, I hope that helps somebody. So, how many of y'all have some true friends here at New City? Yeah, you can put your hand up. It's okay. You got some true people who got some Ruth or Rutherford up in here. Got some riders. Yeah, you got some riders that riding with you. Say, yeah. And I'm not just talking about your spouses. I'm not just talking about your spouses. That was a good try, though, Brian. That was good. That was good. She better ride with you. She better. I'm talking also about making connections outside of our relationships, y'all. It's important, because sometimes those relationships, you need extra support. Okay? We can't do it all alone. We can't. Sometimes it'll really help us evade some of them expensive therapy bills, having a good friend that'll pray with us. Hey! Woo! Sometimes it'll help us get through that depression, having a friend that's holding our hands. It's not always just our spouse. Sometimes having somebody else to back us up. Whew. Sorry, Brian got me there. But I love you still. No, but I'm just saying, in general, you know, get your Ruth or Rutherfords. You deserve that. Now, back on the road we go to where Naomi is tired of going back and forth with Ruth. She's like, all right. She surrenders to letting her journey forward with her. As they arrived back in Naomi's homeland, everyone was so happy to see for Naomi's return. But Naomi did not have the same feeling about being back. As women yell out, Lord, is that Naomi? Naomi responds saying, don't call me Naomi. Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why you call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer? And the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me. You see, Naomi in the Hebrew language means pleasant, and Mara means bitter. Naomi did not feel blessed to be home. She felt cursed that she had to leave where she once felt full. She felt that God had caused her to suffer, and she could not see how her coming back to her homeland was a blessing at all. Everyone was full of joy, but Naomi was bitter. Naomi was grieving. I teach often on the grief of letting go, and wanted to show you all a slide I use with my warriors. We can put the slide up there, media team. Oh, there we go. There we go. Okay. There was another piece to this, but only part of it got here. Is there another slide up there? Uh-oh. Okay, it's okay. But this is the stages of grief. So when we go through things where we are losing something that we love, when we are letting go of things that no longer serve our lives, when someone dies, when a situation ends, there is a grief process that must happen. We go through loss and hurt and shock and numbness and denial, emotional outbursts, anger, fear, searching, disorganization, panic, guilt, loneliness, isolation, depression. I just want to point this out to someone today, because if you are somewhere on this spectrum, and the other portion of this slide was actually showing how in all of my grieving journeys, I went from the happiness back over to the sadness, up and down all around. So if you are feeling up and down, if you are feeling fearful or angry or hurt, it's valid. It's a part of grieving. It's a part of letting go. Now, if you can relate to this, when everything falls apart that you had your hopes and dreams in, when things, relationships, or people die that you thought you would have more time with, perhaps you have to go somewhere that you didn't expect to go, live a life you didn't expect to live, or return somewhere you didn't think you would ever have to return to. And these turn of events from the expected to the unexpected have left you bitter, sad, angry, mad. Yeah, that's grieving. If you can relate to this pain or you are currently grieving, I first want to take a moment to acknowledge your feelings and let you know they are valid and absolutely normal. I want you to know that God understands even when you can't, and God can handle all of those big feelings too. Just because there is a prompting on your heart to move, leave, or go, many times grief goes along with those changes. You are allowed to feel fear, sadness, hurt, disbelief, and bitterness while heading on a path that seems like the end of what you once had hopes and dreams in. It's absolutely okay to question why it has to happen, has to be this way, and also wonder why God let it happen at all. God sees, God knows, and God cares about all that you are going through. It is okay to be authentic about how you feel. It can be extremely difficult when you don't get the response of a revived hope in that old dream. And many times, very painful to walk forward into the unknown place without what you dreamed would have worked out differently. It's okay to feel all of those feelings. It's okay to grieve. It doesn't mean you don't trust God. It means some things hurt to let go of. Sometimes we wanted it to be a different way, and that's okay. And one thing that I have learned in every painful experience in my life is that it's important to feel to heal. So if you need to cry, baby, cry. Get it all off your chest, because it's okay to grieve. Before his crucifixion, Jesus too wished it could be another way. Yes, Jesus was fully aware of the sacrifice he would become, the lives it would save, and the promises of God it would fulfill. And he still grieved. In Matthew chapter 36, the story is told of Jesus in an olive grove called Gethsemane. In this olive grove, Jesus told those who were with him that his soul was crushed with grief to the point of death. While in the same olive grove, Jesus prayed three times to God, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Even Jesus wished it could be another way. It wasn't that he didn't trust God. It was that he allowed himself to grieve, having to go to the cross, while trusting that his Father's plan was still better than his, even if he wished it could be another way. God's will and plan was still good. Even though Jesus grieved the plan was to go, it was still good. Even though Naomi grieved the plan to go, it was still good. Even though we grieve the plan to go, it is still good. Many times painful, but good. Confusing, but still good. Gut-wrenching, but still good. God is good. And even when we can't see it, feel it, or understand it, God is still right there guiding us through it. Asking us to trust when we don't believe anything good can come out of the endings that occur along our journey. Asking us to go even when we don't understand why it could not work out right where we were. Asking us to lean not on our own understanding, but lean on God instead. God did not say there wouldn't be pain and sorrows. But God did show us through his own son's death and resurrection that beautiful things still come from what our understanding perceives as dead situations, hopes, and dreams. God showed us that there is love and light after pain and devastation, that there is comfort from the great comforter in every painful situation. And no matter what, God is with us, taking great care of us as we go. Whew, amen. Whew. Now, if you haven't ever read the books of Ruth, or if it's been a while since you have, I encourage you to take a moment and do so in the days to come. Although I can't tell you the whole story today, that short four books in the Bible have been incredibly encouraging and brought me to tears more than a few times as I begin my move from this place I love so much back to my homeland. Now, I'm going to spoil the end for you, though. Sorry, spoiler alert. Cover your ears if you don't hear. That writer, Ruth, she ends up marrying Boaz. And together they had a baby named Obed, who is actually the future grandfather of the great King David. See, unknowingly, Naomi's decision to go brought Ruth and Boaz together. And through that marriage, the king lineage was born. She was celebrated in her homeland for the great union and for bringing Ruth back with her. Naomi went on to find great joy and new love caring for Obed. New dreams were born. Death did not defeat her. It led Naomi right where she was supposed to be. Woo! 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 Sorry, y'all, that got me right there. Just thinking about that thing right there. This ain't even in the writing, but I just want to talk about that right there because that is so real. When your hopes and dreams and something die, you think it's the end for you, but it's the beginning of something new. Sometimes God says, not that better. Not now. Something new is on the way. Just hold on a little longer. It won't be long now. Don't you give up on me. Don't you give up on me. Don't you give up on me because all you see is falling off around you. Don't you let me out my hand go because all you think is happening is death. Lean into me. Trust me. Believe in me. Know that a new thing is on its way. Even if that new thing doesn't look like the old thing, New dreams are born. New lineages are made. New outcomes. New promises. I know it doesn't look like you think it should look. Hey, I need somebody to hear that. I know it doesn't look like you think it should look. You really had a big dream of coming out here and making millions of dollars. You really thought that everything was supposed to work a certain way. You had your own plan and God said, move over. I'm driving this thing now. You're going to have to trust me from the passenger seat. You can get in the back if you need to, but you got to trust me. I know where I'm taking you. I know where I'm taking you. You see it all falling apart because I'm taking you somewhere. And I knew that if it stayed together, you wouldn't leave. I knew that if everything worked out the way you wanted it to, my plan would not be coming into fruition. When old things die, it doesn't mean new life isn't being born. Woo! So today I pray for those who are making a big decision about things that are no longer serving your life. If you are currently in a place, a city, a relationship, a job, a friendship, or any other situation that is dying, I hope you feel encouraged to take all of the fear, feelings, grief, and whatever else comes up for you and go. I know you may not understand why it couldn't be a different way. But I hope and pray that you lean not on your own understanding and just as Jesus did, trust God's will. God's will and plan are still good because they are. And I pray that even if you can't see it yet, that one day, just like Naomi, you see that choosing to go was still working out for your good because it is. I'm believing this for you and for me today. My friends, and I'm praying and rooting for us as we all go. And I ask that you do the same for me. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Woo! Thank you. Thank you. I love y'all so much. That's the spirit really took over there. Thank you, Lord, for taking over. Let's take a moment and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word today, God. I thank you for your spirit coming in and reminding me that you are in control. Can't see it. May we still believe it. May we still trust your plan is good. May we still always walk forward trusting you. May we still be able to grieve and tell you our heart's feelings as you comfort us, the great comforter. I thank you, Lord, for every privilege I have to move, even if I don't want to sometimes. I thank you, Lord, for trusting you in every shift and turn. And I ask, Lord, that someone here who is wanting to trust you more, here's in this story, God, that they can trust you. That it may not all feel wonderful all the time. That it may not look like we wanted it to look, Lord. That some things have to go for new things can begin. But Lord, can we lean not on our own understanding today, God? Can we climb mountains and take over valleys, Lord, trusting you still? Even with our eyes full of tears, even with sadness in our hearts, will we still trust you more? Because you're bigger than all that, God. And I thank you today for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.